Welcome to episode 424 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is Thursday, and typically on Thursdays, we share a collection of verses that relate to the topic on a study for the week. But today, rather than doing that, we're going to take a deep dive into one of Jesus' parables. Jesus sat before the people and uttered what must have been to them shocking words. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says to them, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Few were more scrupulous in the observance of the letter of the law than were the Pharisees. Nevertheless, they failed because their behavior was intended to impress those around them more than to please God. Jesus warns us not to do likewise. How then can we be righteous before God? The parable of the marriage feast gives us the clue in finding the source of true righteousness. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 13. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot, and cast him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Guests bedecked in their finest, laughing, smiling, delighted to be included. A storybook bride and groom, tables laden with food that entices the taste buds. Or, indifferent people, totally preoccupied with personal affairs, proceedings put on hold, bloodshed and ruin, and finally the banishment of a tacky guest. Which of these wedding festivities would you rather attend? The choice seems obvious. In the latter version is the one Christ chose to portray in this text. As is the case with so many of Jesus' parables, the parable of the marriage feast or the wedding banquet had a particular meaning for the people who heard it, as well as a special message for those who would come after. Most likely told in the temple courts with the chief priests and elders present, this parable was packed with meaning specific to their particular situation. The invited guests are the Jewish people, subjects of the king. Israel treasured the ancient promise of a coming Redeemer as a nation's unique hope. Note what Jesus says in John 8, verse 56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Without getting too far down this path, we might understand this statement this way. Abraham, as he was replacing Isaac on the altar with a ram that was found in a nearby thicket, realized, as never before, how the Messiah would redeem all sinners by his substitutionary death. And he was glad. Somehow, God revealed to him the sacrifice that was to come, the sacrifice that would be fulfilled in Christ. Throughout the Old Testament, God, the King, is appealing to his people, Israel, to turn to him, to be born again, to fully commit themselves to him, and importantly, to be his ambassadors to a fallen world. Yes, Israel was God's chosen nation, but not so that they could enjoy a privileged status closed off from the rest of the world. Rather, they were to show their neighbors the privileges of serving God and win them also for the kingdom of heaven. The Old Testament prophets were the ones who gave the Jewish people this original invitation. John the Baptist, Jesus, and his disciples followed up with an appeal to Israel before the crucifixion. The rejection of the king's initial invitations resulted in Israel's destruction and the loss of their status as God's chosen agency to spread the gospel. The Lord gave the task to another, the Christian church, spiritual Israel. The servants took another round of invitations into the highways and byways, gathering anyone who would respond. The chief priests and elders who were listening to Jesus heard that they would lose their privileges to sinners and Gentiles, people they considered unworthy of their king's favor. There was a guest who was not dressed in the right attire. What does that mean? What does the wedding garment represent? Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. The king provided wedding robes free of charge. Those present were invited randomly while traveling on the highways and probably did not have the appropriate attire for the wedding, nor money to buy such attire. Both the invitation and the garment were gifts from the king. The only requirement needed to attend the feast was to accept both presents. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, every human being is spiritually naked. Adam and Eve felt naked after disobeying, and they attempted to cover themselves by sewing fig leaves together, something utterly uncomfortable and ineffective. The best righteousness that human effort can achieve is like filthy rags, so we read in Isaiah 64, verse 6. As in this parable, God provides the garments we need. He made garments for Adam and Eve and clothed them, a symbol of his righteousness covering the sinner. The Lord also provides the garment of Christ's righteousness for his church, so that she may be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. This robe is the righteousness of Christ, his own unblemished character, that through faith is imparted to all who receive him as their personal Savior. The man without a wedding garment was one who had not yielded his heart to Christ. He was one whose life had not been transformed. He may have had an interest in Christ, but he had not surrendered to the Savior. He was not fit to be a guest. Rather, he was a wedding crasher, and he had to be removed. Despite the one guest being expelled from the banquet hall, this parable does have a happy ending. There are still guests inside who are wearing the king's garments. I want to be one of those guests. Revelation 19, verse 9 reassures us with these words, "And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.'" Father, clothe us with the righteousness of Christ. Give us hearts that are sold out to you. And on the day of examination, may we be found to be wearing the right garment. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.